السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, last week we discussed some of the virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan, and I mentioned that this month we will be discussing throughout the month, inshallah, virtues of the fasting, virtues of Laylatul Qadr, virtues of the Quran Sharif, because all these things are related to Ramadan. Last week I mentioned that there are many sunnats of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are different sunnats of eating, of drinking, of sleeping. And a person's ishq for Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam demands that he finds out, how did my Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam eat? How did he drink? How did he talk? How did he walk? How did he transact his business? How did Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak to his wives? How did he speak to his children? What was his treatment of the orphans and the widows? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every aspect of his life, there is great wisdom in it. And because he was the mahbub of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, therefore every action of his also was mahbub. And this is the wisdom behind having so many different mazahib, as we term it, the Maliki, the Shafi, the Hanbali, although there were others, but these four became well established in the world. And those slight differences that you find in the commencement of the Salat, some raise hands up to the ears, some up to the shoulders, some when they tie their hands, they tie below the navel, and some tie above the navel, and some raise their hands even before going into ruku. Some make Ameen loudly, some make Ameen softly. Now all these slight differences that you find, it was actually a preservation of every amal of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was so mehboob and beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that somewhere in the world somebody will be practicing on that sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not an issue for argument and debate and fights and quarrels. Nevertheless, so this is what I discussed last week, that the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are many. And the ishq of a person, the love of a person for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, demands that he should find out, read in the books of hadith, query from the ulama, and then make amal on those sunnats, because every sunnat is full of noor and full of light. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he says, that man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru miyati shaheed. The person who holds fast to my sunnat when there's fasad in the ummat, then for him there will be the reward of 100 martyrs. With regards to fasad in the ummat, I have also already discussed certain aspects, but in the commentaries of hadith sharif, then there you find that one of the commentary that is given, in the ghalabati al-jahli wal-masiyati wal-fisq, when there is, and wal-bid'ah, when there is an overwhelming influence, or when people have become, or their hearts have become engulfed with passions of the evil kind, when there is great amounts of ignorance in the ummat, with regards to even the basics of deen, there's great amount of ignorance. People are not aware of the masail of just fasting, of namaz, of zakat, of hajj, even the aqaid. there is not much knowledge about the aqaid, and when there is a dominance of bid'at, and when there is plenty of sins and plenty of evil, plenty of indulgence in haram, then at such a time when the person holds fast, Rasulullah says, to my sunnat, then he will get this reward of 100 martyrs. Now you have heard many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and many Quranic verses. But we all know that the purpose of this fasting in this month of Ramadan is to obtain taqwa, to gain this taqwa. And we will not be doing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala any favor if we have to establish taqwa in our lives. Because taqwa is restraining ourselves from that which is prohibited by Allah ta'ala, which is displeasing to Allah ta'ala. Loosely translated, we say it is the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but here the fear is the fear of the displeasure of Allah ta'ala. That is the reality. That the person thinks, or he looks at the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon him, and he says that it is not befitting a person like me who is receiving so much of gifts from Allah ta'ala day and night to be displeasing to my benefactor, to be displeasing to my creator, to be displeasing to the one who is so beneficent, so merciful, who is showering upon me so much of his bounties. So the person restrains himself. Now as far as this fasting is concerned, we discuss certain aspects or those things which break fast. And it's mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has stated that backbiting, casting lustful glances, taking false oaths. Now these are things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they break the person's wuzu also and break his fast also. It breaks his wuzu also and it breaks his fast also. The person is casting lustful glances, is taking false oaths and qasams, is backbiting, or he is swearing, or is speaking lies. Now these things, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it breaks his wuzu and it breaks his fast. Now the question I wish to put forward to you and to myself is this, that if in the sight of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the person's wuzu is broken, and that person's fast also is invalid, then from where do we expect that rahmat to come? From where do we expect that nur to come in the heart? From where do we expect those barakat and those blessings of Ramadan to come into our heart? Because the wuzu we made, after that we made some ghibat, or we spoke some lie, or we indulge in one of the other sins that have been mentioned in the hadith sharif, so then what happens is that that wuzu is gone, so there's no nur left in the namaz. And if the person has done this whilst in a fasting state, then his fast is gone. So how careful and how much on guard we must be. I did explain that any jurist you have to ask, or any mufti you have to ask, he will say after cursing, after swearing, or after speaking a lie, your wuzu is still valid. And if you have to ask him about fasting, he will say your fast is still valid, you don't have to keep the qaza. Now that is their ihsan and their favor upon us, that they made it easy for us to say that the person is as if he has not kept a fast, that person is as if he has not made wuzu. But in reality, this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said. So it is a weakness of ours that when we are fasting, we are staying away from food and from drink. But those things which have been prohibited every day of our lives, we don't stay away from that. And I mentioned the other day in the morning, Fajr time, that when a person has earned the whole day, he has been working very hard. Now he was very excited because every person checks at the end of the day that how much he has saved. How was the business? He discusses his business. Business was good or business was bad. But in the days that business is good, and a person was very excited that he had made a lot of money for the day. And he's already got plans and ideas that I will be going for Hajj and Umrah, or I will be flying to America and England and Paris. Or this person has got ideas that now I will be buying a new car or doing this or doing that. And then afterwards, at the end of the day, when he was just about leaving the premises, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us all in these days of hijacking and murders and killings, that person was held up and all his money was gone. The person just left from his home, he just went somewhere, and when he returns, there's nothing left in the house. So now these type of incidents are taking place every day. Allah ta'ala must protect all of us. But now this person, how much of grief and how much of sorrow and how much of pain will come on his heart? He will say, I worked so hard, I paid my staff their wages, and I did so much of buying and selling. But this is the end result, that there's nothing left. So how much of pain and how much of grief comes on the heart of that person? My brothers, we must question ourselves, that after fasting for the whole day, we have stayed away from food, from drink, from carnal passions with our wives, solely because it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam. Now when it is hijacked, when that noor is hijacked by shaitan, we will say shaitans are chained in this month. The evil shayateen are chained, but our nafs is still with us. And this shaitan also, for the 11 months of the year, he gives us such a kick and such a boost that throughout the month of Ramadan, our vehicle just keeps rolling. Like the spaceship, it is given a boost, after that it just keeps moving. So even in the month of Ramadan, the effects of those 11 months remain if we don't make sincere tawbah. So now how much of pain should come on our hearts? Did we sit at the end of the day and think that, Ya Allah, how did I spend this day of fasting? How much did I earn and how much got lost and stolen? So we have to take that stock. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That the person who does not give up qawl zur, and qawl zur means qawl batil. Now whatever that qawl is, whatever kind of statement or word that is, whether it is lies, whether it is ghibat, whether it is gossiping about somebody which will cause hurt and injury to that person's heart if he has to come to know about it, or whether it is taking a false oath and a qasam, or it is in the sales that we are doing, that we are hiding the defects in the garment or in the car or in whatever we are selling, and we are speaking lies upon lies, praising our article, whatever it may be, if the person does not give up that, or making amal on anything that is sinful, or making or committing sins of whatever kind they may be, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that person's giving up his food and drink. We do not make Allah Ta'ala rich, or we do not increase Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's treasures by staying away from food and drink. So then our fast will be like that person who says that, please send me somebody, I want a salesman. So we send him a person who is on wheelchair. The person is paralyzed. The person has got an oxygen tube in his nose, and the person cannot see, he cannot breathe properly, he cannot listen properly, he cannot speak properly. But in our terminology, we will say that this person is alive. He's got life. Now this person will say that, I asked you for a salesman. He says, yes, so there's a man, you wanted a man, there's a man here. So we'll say, but this man is useless. He can't see, he can't hear, he can't speak, he's paralyzed. But if somebody has to shoot this person, he will be arrested for murder, because this person is still breathing. But in reality, he is useless. Or if a person has a few bottles of milk, we do not call that person shop a dairy. So our fast becomes like that, extremely weak, no force at all in that fast to make us restrain throughout the year after that from those things which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. And there's no noor in it, there's no barkat in it. Then all those fazail and virtues which we read, then they will not give us those benefits, because we have not fulfilled the rites of that fast. So far too long, for many, many years of our lives, we have been fasting. But we know that at the end of Ramadan, we are back to square one. And even in the month of Ramadan, there's so much of indulgence in sins, in useless, futile activities. absolutely useless, which will be of no benefit to the person in this world or the akhirat. And yet Rasul-e-Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person said, Mawlana, you spoke about the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if we are talking about other sunnats, then this was also a great sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that how did he fast in the month of Ramadan? Or what was his fast like? Or what did he do in the month of Ramadan? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just as we are talking about his other sunnats, then we have to also find out how did he spend his Ramadan. Now if we have to look at the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then there was everything in that month of Ramadan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was still receiving the wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Quran Sharif was still being revealed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spent many years of Ramadan in which the Quran Sharif was still being revealed. So as the Quran Sharif was being revealed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made tafsir of that Quran Sharif. He was explaining what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed to him. So we will say that in the month of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made tafsir of the Quran Sharif. And whose tafsir could be better than the tafsir of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He did the recitation of that ayat of the Quran Sharif, and then he did an explanation of that ayat of the Quran Sharif, and by his amal and his practice he showed what that ayat implied. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was receiving the Quran Sharif and he was making tafsir of that Quran Sharif. So if somebody is occupied in doing the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, if a person is occupied in doing the recitation of the Quran Sharif, then we will say that he is following a certain sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan. That in the month of Ramadan, especially the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make door with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And in his last year, he made the door of two Quran Sharifs with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what a kind of door that must have been. One is the door of our huffaz. And what kind of a door that must be, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is reading and Hazrat Jibreel is listening. Or Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is reading. So the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the virtues of which we know, especially in the month of Ramadan. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what is Hadith Sharif? It is whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, in simple language. So therefore whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching the Sahaba ikram in Ramadan, we will say that is Hadith Sharif. All his aqwal is Hadith Sharif. His actions are Hadith Sharif, his sunnats. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan was also the teaching of Hadith. In our terms we will say that it was also the teaching of Hadith Sharif. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made zikr in the month of Ramadan. If you look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that what we should be doing in the month of Ramadan and what we should be asking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. The making of istighfar, the reading of La ilaha illallah, seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala jannat and asking Allah ta'ala for protection from the fire of Jahannam. So there is zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also in this month of Ramadan. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on two occasions he had to leave Madina Sharif and go out. One was at the time of Badr and the other was at the time of Fatah Makkah. Now these were two occasions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went out, we will say, in jihad. So if the person is going out in jihad, then that is also an action which was in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan. And then the greatest of all Nabis, and there was nobody who was doing more social work and doing more ibadat and more zikr and more tilawat, and there was no one who had more qurb and more closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but yet in the last 10 nights of Ramadan and sometimes for 20 nights and sometimes for the whole month, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cuts off every other activity and he sits down in the masjid, and that is the i'tikaf of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, showing that again there is this i'tikaf also is a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan. So from all the different things, there's no time to go into details, but there is a whole mazmoon and a topic and subject that is coming into my mind at this stage, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, because I did not plan it in such a way, but there is a whole mazmoon in it, that at present we end up with a lot of comparisons, that you are doing too little and you are doing too much and you are doing just tilawat and that person is doing so much of social and welfare work and that person is going out in the path of Allah and you are sitting in i'tikaf. All these unnecessary fights and arguments and quarrels and comparisons. If only we have a little bit of understanding of the Ramadan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then there will be no place for all this in our lives. Because all these different actions were in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he was jame. Everything Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything you'll find in one life. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a mujahid also. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a mufassir also. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a muhaddis also. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing so much of social and welfare work also. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing so many things. Now we don't have that capacity to do everything. So within our means and within our capabilities, whatever we can do, but the main thing is that in Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, there was no sins. Now that every person can do. And if we are not like Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and definitely we are not, he was the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he was protected, he was masoom, he was sinless. Now we are human beings and we will fault, we will make errors, we will commit sins. That is our weakness. But then, accidental sins, we will make so much of istighfar and tawbah, so much of istighfar and tawbah, that we will make even the angels weep over our istighfar and tawbah. The angels too will say, oh, you servant of Allah, you have cried enough now. Allah has become pleased with you, and now you must not fall sick, continuing in that direction. Even they will cry for us. But believe me that in the crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person does not get depression. Crying over wealth, crying over property, crying over loss of this and that, it is permissible. It's not haram. But it creates depression in the person's heart. Because this person hasn't got tafweez that if he did that which was supposed to be done, then now he should have had aitimad and yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that whatever has happened with the will of Allah ta'ala. I did whatever I had to do. I made use of the means that had to be made use of, and now if it is Allah Ta'ala's decision that this car should get hijacked, or that shop should get burgled, or that home should be raided, or whatever, or I should get sick and ill, I have done whatever had to be done. So now if this person has that kind of yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala, then it will keep that sukoon in his heart. That tranquility of his heart will not be shaken. He will get pain in the body, he may get loss of wealth, but the tranquility will not be shaken. So now here this person who is crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala over his sins, it doesn't create any kind of depression. In fact, at the end of it, the person feels as if some rains washed away all the dirt that was on his heart, or the rust which was on the heart has been removed. But provided the person, as I've repeatedly said, fulfills the rites of tawbah. That if it involves the payment of people's debts and credits that he has taken, then there is no question of just making tawbah in the masjid and expecting that Allah Ta'ala will make everything maaf because the month of Ramadan and we cried enough. The person has to make that effort. And I repeatedly say, and I repeat again, that if we have to look in our houses, in our homes, in our, I'm talking of most of those people who are in big businesses, and most of those people who are living in good homes and having plentiful to eat and drink, the average person, that if we have to look into his home and look into his assets and savings, then there are so many things there that if he has to get rid of that, he will get rid of his debts. He won't have to go to the banks. Yes, his lifestyle will become a little simple. His standards will be a little lowered. He will not be able to invite after that 2,000 people for the marriages and the walimas with a 7-course meal. But this person in his simple life now, and he can live in a flat, if he was living in a mansion, and he can drive a simple and a cheaper car if he was driving a very luxurious one. Don't worry about what the people are going to say. How long are we going to worry about the words of people? When are we going to say that, what does my Allah say? What does my Rasul Sallam say? And what am I going to get if I'm going to leave behind all these debts and leave this world? So why, for the sake of a little bit of name and fame? And that name and fame also doesn't come because the people that this person is owing monies to, those people keep on talking. That look at that person, is going for Umrah, he's going for Hajj, he's going for Deen work. This person is making the Nikah in which he's inviting 1,000 people. And look at this, just the other day, 2 or 3 days before Ramadan, a person phones me from Johannesburg. And he says, Maulana, that incident which you mentioned, Wallah, I'm telling you in the masjid, I can't speak lies yet. Why should I speak lies in Ramadan when I'm telling you not to speak lies? He says, Maulana, I was invited at a wedding. That person owes me a lot of money. And he says, I recall that incident which you mentioned in one of your bayans, in which you said that there was a person who was owing 60-70,000 rand to somebody, and this person that he was owing money to was also invited for this walima, for this nikah. And in this nikah, of this person's son or daughter, there were over 1,000 people that were invited. And the best part is that this person whom he took for a ride was also invited. So whilst they were eating, unashamed, he comes around and he says, "Eat well, eat well. Barabar kajo anda." In Gujarati he said, "Eat well." So this man says, he says, "Molana, because he owes me a lot of money and he had invited me, and every time I ask him money he hasn't got, and he plays insolvent. So I said also loudly, Barabar kajo apraj paya che. Eat well, it's our money, don't worry." So this man, 2-3 days before Ramadan, he says, "Molana, I was invited to a wedding and this person owes me a lot of money." So that's when I recall this incident that you had mentioned. How true it is, he says. But just that I didn't have the courage to tell him, Barabar kajo apraj paya che. So let us make sincere tawbah from all sins, especially in this month of Ramadan. And wallah, Allah Ta'ala has opened the floodgates of rahmat. If only we have the receptors, the receivers right, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has opened up the floodgates of rahmat. It is pouring, wallah brothers, it is pouring. We don't have the hearts, so we cannot experience that rahmat, the rains of rahmat which are pouring. And don't think it will only pour in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It has already started pouring. It's a wonderful opportunity, a beautiful opportunity to give up sins which we find difficult to give up in other parts of the year. And especially now that we will be flooded with so many different programs and different invitations which will come for us immediately after Ramadan. So from now, if we have developed the taqwa in our hearts, then it will be easy to restrain. If not, then the moment the moon is sighted for the Eid, we'll find the cinemas, the theaters, the casinos, and the prostitute quarters, and the music and everything again flooding. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this Mubarak month. He wants to bless us. He loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to give us His closeness, His ma'rifat, His yaqeen. He wants to give us the best of this world and the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to lead a life of animalism in this world. How long are we going to follow those people who do not even know whether they are coming or going? Their lives are in a mess, in filth. They are drowning in the ocean of filth. And they are thinking that they are enjoying themselves. But who does not know what their lives are? So why follow them? Follow our beautiful teachings of Sharia, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless us with peace, with happiness, with contentment. Make a lot of dua for ourselves and for the entire ummat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.